Fifth opening day. Major League Baseball.
Although the Yankees played last night and won, so.
No, I said it's Paul.
I did. This is the final call. That's you can watch TV. Okay.
I'm going to see.
What?
Max Ehrlich.
Here.
Armin Fard. Christian Flournoy. Ezra Galperin.
Here.
Isabella Gale.
Here.
Lawrence Hans.
Present.
Vance Cockrell.
Present.
Sion Kim.
Eric Gav holding her proxy.
Just forget.
Catherine Christopa.
Yes, our chair.
Yasmine Masood. Ellie Porter. John Purcell.
Hello.
Hayden Spector.
Here.
Jocelyn Swaby. Christian Tarla. Thor Wagsback. Alexander Walters.
Then
Hayden Wackens.
here,
Zachary Yabu. Eric Yao.
here,
Kennedy Young.
Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaigahono. The Gaigahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gaigahono, dispossession, and honor the ongoing connection of Gaigahono people, past, present, and future, to these lands and waters. And we do not have any minutes in the box, so we're going to go skip that as of right now. And we will move to reports of officers, committees, and liaisons. Representative Galbraith.
Hi everyone. So nice to see a good number of people here today. I wanted to let everyone know that the next dining committee meeting will not be the first Monday of April as usual as intended, or I guess better to say not the second. It will be on April 20th due to Passover. The Morrison Kosher Station will be closed for the duration of Passover, but 104 West is completely kosher for Passover, and frozen kosher meals will be available upon request at both Morrison and Appel. If anyone has any questions concerning that, please let me know.
Representative Bloom.
Just an environmental committee update. We met this past weekend. It was a good meeting. We're planning on some sort of Earth Day event. It's still in the works, but hopefully we can ideally set up some tables in Ho Plaza and have some interactive games, and have a couple different orgs come and table during Earth Day. So working on planning that out.
Director Gillinson.
Yes, hello everyone. All right, I'm gonna read off of my computer this time because the last time I did it off the cuff and I missed like 80% of what I wanted to say. So here we go. Hello everyone. Hope you are all doing well. We are T-minus 1 day from the end of registration, which closes tomorrow at 11:59 p.m. As a reminder, an open petition does not constitute a completed registration form. That is separate. So please complete your registration form by tomorrow. Petitions are due April 6th. I hate for someone who has a partially completed petition form be disqualified because they didn't register on time. Second paragraph. On the matter of petitions, I do want to encourage everyone to see it as their assembly duty to sign petitions, even for those you do not know. We have many candidates running for affinity seats who, in the current moment, won't even get a chance to run. This includes women's reps, UA reps, minority reps, and at-large reps. As well, some of those aren't affinity seats, but whatever. As members of the assembly, I think we should be flooding everyone's petitions with our signatures. Petitions is a requirement, but it shouldn't be a complete hindrance to running. I encourage all of you to check in once in a while on these affinity seats and give new candidates a nice confidence boost by signing their petitions. I'm also going to shout out the Dyson race. We currently have one person running. It's a dear friend of ours, and I'd hate to see him lose, but Dyson is a school of 1,000 people. I would like at least two people to run for that. So if you know anyone in Dyson, please beg them to run. It means a lot to me. And this is the most important part. I'm currently accepting endorsement applications. This year, per the election rules, an organization's approved endorsement form can be sent once registration closes. So starting tomorrow night. Endorsements can still not publicly be announced until the start of campaigning, but if orgs want to do deliberations over spring break so they can endorse the first day of campaigning, that is allowed. The only way to do that, however, is to get me those forms sooner rather than later. I've already had three orgs email me with valid endorsement forms. So you will be, if you are signed up to run starting Saturday, I will send out those three organizations endorsement forms. I'll say that they all come from one particular political persuasion. So if you want your political persuasion represented, I highly encourage you to go out and find organizations to then email me a valid endorsement form. So please pester organizations to quickly throw together an endorsement form and timeline should it coincide with the election rules and not be completely bullshit. I will approve it and send it out to all candidates. And I will also be approving and sending out endorsement forms over spring break. So if I get one, say, on Monday, I can still send it out and have it due at the beginning of the campaigning. This is really essential, guys. Please, please, please get your organizations to submit for endorsements. Because if you want your organization to endorse starting the first day of campaigning, it has to happen like now. So, yeah, thank you.
I'm just going to make a quick note for executive cabinet. We met this past weekend and we spoke about student code of conduct as well as just some more, a lot of in-depth information actually about SAF. So thank you to those that were able to attend. And then there'll be information about our last one for the year as well. Vice President Watkins.
I move to amend the meeting agenda by immediately after public comment, doing the third reading calendar with resolution 66 at the top of the third reading calendar, and then appointments and vacancies, and then second reading calendar.
Is there dissent?
Would have been great. Would it be recognized? And that to have the special project requests go before the one altogether so we can get them out of here faster.
There's not any special projects requests on the agenda right now. I believe what you're referencing is about how I wanted to have like a committee of the whole discussion about special projects, which has to be it.
Is there dissent? Seeing none, that motion has been made. So we'll go third, vacancies, and then second. Any other reports? Correct. Seeing none, we will now move to open microphone public comment. The chair will not recognize community members who wish to speak at this time. Each recognized community member may speak for once up to 3 minutes. There's a 1 hour limit for public comment period. And just for your information, I will make a sound at 1 minute, 30 seconds. So one at 1 minute, two at 30 seconds, and then another sound at 10 seconds.
Hello, can you guys hear me okay? Yes? Okay, perfect, perfect. Hello, everyone. Good to see so many of you guys again from last Thursday. Just kind of wanted to take a moment to respond to what was said at the Student Programming Council last week and kind of give a little bit more of a description as to kind of what we do as you guys are deliberating on your decision for Resolution 10. So good evening, everyone. My name is Heba. I'm here to speak on behalf of the Student Programming Council. So just to kind of reiterate, the purpose of the Student Programming Council is to program and to educate. Since our creation in 2023, SPC has worked to transform campus life by creating large-scale student-led programming while also building a culture of peer-to-peer education. You guys can hear me okay, right? Okay, perfect. When FanFest was canceled this last semester, SPC was the organization that stood up. we created HoCo Fest, a student-led initiative on Ho Plaza that reached over 1,000 students and restored a sense of community and big red pride leading to homecoming. This is what the Student Programming Council does. When there is a gap in the student experience, we fill it. Further, when we looked at the start of the academic year, we saw a need for a large-scale inclusive event that brings both first years and returning students together. So we built WOW Fest, one of the first major events in the Weeks of Welcome calendar. And since 2024, this event has brought thousands of students together. Beyond HoCo Fest, Student Programming Council has played a key role in supporting and executing major events and traditions like Spring Fest, Fall Fest, and Slope Day. These are not just events. They are moments that bring thousands of students together and define the Cornell experience. But just as important as our programming initiatives are, is our commitment to education. The Student Programming Council is built on peer-to-peer learning. Students are not just attending our events. They are learning how to plan them, manage budgets, coordinate logistics, and lead organizations. We invest in our members and campus community through these professional developments and collaborating with knowledge sharing across organizations. Through our student-led Spark initiative, which is happening after spring break, by the way, just to plug, part of the leadership workshop series, we are supporting hundreds of student leaders by providing a space to share resources and build the skills needed to create meaningful, large-scale programming. This is how SPC gives back. And not just through our events, but through leadership development that reaches across campus. And that matters because student-led programming creates an impact. It is more responsive and more connected to what students actually want. These events work because they are built by students for students. A $7,000 operating budget would fundamentally undermine this work. It would mean fewer large-scale events, reducing collaboration across SPC organizations, and ultimately the loss of opportunities for students to both create and experience meaningful campus programming. Quite simply, it would mean the end of the scale and impact that SPC has spent the last 2 years building. Everything we have to grow.
Sorry.
Okay, wait. Thank you so much. Please reconsider. Okay, thank you.
Can y'all hear me? Oh, there we go. Is this better? Sounds good. Representative Ehrlich.
Oh, if you're going.
Hi, friends. Can everyone hear me? Okay, good. My name is Nafisa. I'm the VP of Finance for Student Programming Council. And I just wanted to finish up what Hiba, our president, had to say. Student-led programming has a different impact. It is more responsive and more connected because it's actually what students want. They work because not only are they for students, but we're building them for students. If we lose our funding, you know, and cut back to a 7,000 operating budget, we're basically losing all the work that we have put in these last 2 years. Everything we have, everything we grow, our traditions, our infrastructure, our student leadership pipeline depends on sustained investment. To better understand what a $7,000 budget means is not just a number. It is a decision about what kind of campus community we want. One where students are empowered to lead and create, or one where those opportunities are limited. SBC exists because students saw a need and stepped up. We are asking you to do the same. One thing I would like to add is that SBC has made such a big difference in the programming I've seen in my last 4 years, you know, on campus as a student programmer. And I know that it can seem like, you know, a big investment, but I do think that this investment saves us so much in the long term. We are preparing our students and teaching them from student to student about how to plan these events. If you cannot see the value, you know, look at the events we put on, right? We put on so many events for so many different groups of people. And I think it's really essential that we are able to continue doing our important work. Thanks.
Awesome.
All right, I'll be brief. And just for people in the audience, I promise I'm not doing this to be like a weirdo. It's because like I can't say this during other parts of the meeting because it's not germane and I want to follow the rules. So I use public comment for it. I did this last week, but I want to redo it because there's folks who are here that weren't here last week. This is about the upcoming student assembly elections. If you were an author on a resolution this year, please raise your hand. It's going to be most people. It's going to be almost every single person. I'm seeing a lot of hands. I'm seeing some hands that I don't know if I agree that that's true, but I'm not going to say it. But regardless, if you haven't been active legislatively in this body this year and you're running for re-election, I'm going to say this in stronger terms than I did last week, shame on you. Because if you're not doing your job and you want your job again next semester, I'm going to be very direct. You should start doing your job and you shouldn't be running for re-election. That's really all I want to say. And I also want to echo what Ian said about colleges that don't have a lot of people running. If you're in Dyson, maybe think about running. If you're maybe an engineer, maybe think about running. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. Thank you.
Any other public?
Hi, can you hear me? Yes. Okay. Good evening, members of the Student Assembly. My name is Rhea Patil, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Student Programming Council. I want to ground this conversation in what SPC represents, not just events, but impact. Since our creation in 2023, SPC has worked to both program and educate, building an infrastructure where students create large-scale campus experiences while also learning how to lead, collaborate, and execute them. When there are gaps in the student experience, SPC steps up. When FanFest was canceled, we created HokoFest, bringing over thousands of students together on Hill Plaza. When we saw a need for connection at the start of the academic year, we built WowFest, which now brings over 5,000 students during weeks of welcome. Through the Spark Conference, we invest in hundreds of student leaders, giving them the tools to create programming that reaches even further across campus. These events bring moments of connection, belonging, and community that define the Cornell experience, and they are built by students for students. But here's the reality. Events like WowFest, HokoFest, and Spark do not happen without funding. To put this into perspective, Spark alone costs around $4,000. WowFest requires approximately $12,000, and HokoFest costs over $16,000. These are not inflated numbers. They reflect what it actually takes to create large-scale accessible programming that reaches thousands of students. A reduction of funding from $47,000 to $7,000, which is a reduction from an allocation of $3 to 50 cents, doesn't just mean scaling back. It makes this level of programming impossible. And what's at stake is more than just events. At a place like Cornell, where the academic environment can be intense and at times isolating, these spaces play a critical role in student well-being. They give students a chance to step away, to connect, and to feel supported. They create moments of joy and relief, and they remind students that they are part of a larger community. SPC doesn't just host events. We build community, support student well-being, and develop student leaders. Through peer-to-peer education, we ensure that knowledge is passed down, that organizations grow stronger, and that students are empowered to shape their own campus experience. And all that depends on funding. Reducing that support doesn't just shrink events. It limits connections, limits access, and limits the kind of campus experience we can offer. It impacts not only the students who attend, but the students who lead, plan, and build these experiences from the ground up. We've built something that works, something students show up for, something that reaches thousands, and something that truly makes a difference. We are asking you to invest in the community, leadership, and student experience that Cornell students have built and deserve to keep. Thank you.
I'll go. All right. I am wearing a visor. We are inside right now. I understand. Was going to go golfing, didn't work out. So I want to put that out there before I start speaking. I heard an interesting quote, and I thought it like applied to what we were doing. So we were watching The Big Short, my real estate class. It ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. And I heard last week someone bring up apathy. Like how, like, it's pretty bad that you guys are all, like, apathetic. And I just think it's apathy, but it's also, like, the people that aren't apathetic, the people that know so, so little and just, like, force their way into thinking that they know things, I think that's the main issue. Like, it's just, it's a knowledge and, like, respect for, like, Cornell's history and, like, the culture that has been built that, like, causes you guys to make some decisions that, like, I don't respect. So, like, Resolution 66, I don't know why it's not in this packet. Like, we always have the resolutions in here. Like, we can have that in here. Like, 67, it still says 40,000. I thought Hayden changed that to 60 last week. So I just, like, need to be more consistent on that type of stuff. And then, like, even with MGFC getting this funding, like, at what point in the byline cycle are you guys just going to say no? And, like, we can't help you anymore. And then, like, it's just, it's never going to happen. And it's not fair to say no anymore because you guys are always accepting that you're not going to say no. So, like, with SBC, like, you really can't say no because you've already given Alana more money. You've already given MGFC more money, like, to reassess, to remake up for the fact that, like, you're doing this. So it's pretty bad. I feel like the fact that there was 500,000, over 500,000 in the reserve account, and now there's only 400,000, and it's been, like, 2 months. Like, you guys already give them money. Like, if they come back and ask for more, like, that's the money that they have. Like, that's the money that was preset. Giving them more, it's like, why do they need more? What happened? And it's like, in many cases, there was an error, and you shouldn't just cater to that error. Like, I get that some people weren't here when it happened for some things, but I think there's some degree of, like, accountability that needs to be taken. And I just think that for many things, like, you guys just can't be apathetic. You can't just, like, accept that you, like, think that you're going to know something, except that, like, you know one piece of it and you know the whole thing. Like, just say that you know nothing, come up here and just own it and then move on. So I think everybody just think about what you're going to do with 400,000, because it shouldn't be just put towards all the byline funding. That's it.
Any others for public?
I don't know if I missed something, but I don't know what resolution or what the budget is under, but I just wanted to comment that one, I thought it was interesting last week on Thursday, a lot of people were talking about concerns about the budget that was being worked on, and some comments were made like, oh, well, it's sad we only have so many student assembly seats that are, you know, voting members on the budget committee. But at the end of the day, they're not all closed executive sessions. So if you had, like, concerns or opinions, you could have shown up at any time way earlier, like, a lot. So at the last minute, to kind of put all this magical pressure on a document and a situation you don't fully understand, I don't think is fair to that committee. And in the practicalities and realities that we need to pass the budget, we need to pass something through. And if we go back to the old one, then some of the organizations that need more and some that definitely need less are not going to get what they need. This one is made, the budget that they've worked on is for this cycle, this next 2 years. That one is not. It's out of context. There's going to be some major consequences. And I rather face the consequences that this body knew they were going to face and accepted than ones that were totally unprepared for and the mess and the rigmarole that that whole other process is going to be. Thanks.
Everyone, I'm Ying Lin. So I'm the class of 2026 council president. I think I've been here a good amount of times, also presented to the finance committee a good amount of times. The reason why I want to come here is I do acknowledge what Franklin is saying in terms of, you know, time is ticking and we need to do something about it. But I disagree in that this current recommendation is rooted in our presentations and the Finance Committee's understanding of the work that we do. Fun fact, actually, we did our first presentation around September, October-ish. We went through three more rounds because we went through three more rounds of appeals because class council is very complex. Class councils incorporate senior days and class councils as a whole. So we do that last week of events before seniors graduate for commencement. The reason why I mentioned this is actually during our last presentation, the third one, it came to my attention that it doesn't seem like the Finance Committee was well aware that our current split for our budgeting is made by the last round of student assembly. There's nothing we can change. In our recommendation letter, it literally writes, we recommend that class council splits your budget that you get $16 into 20 and 80 split, with class council only getting 20%. The reaction that I got during that meeting shows me there wasn't a sense of awareness on the things that we do and also our history with student assembly and our funding. So that led me to think, is this recommendation really rooted in a lot of knowledge and understanding of the things that we do? Is it really a good reflection of the needs of the needs of each organization? Again, I do like to acknowledge and thank the Finance Committee for being very patient and kind of like acknowledging or understanding and being willing to go through this iterated process with us, because I spent my entire last semester working with the Finance Committee to adjust our budget, and we appreciate the time that you guys commit to us. But it just comes to a point where I have a question of, is it really reflective? And if not, what can we do to address this so we make sure that student orgs are not suffering from a decision that might be not as informed as we would think it would be? Also, last thing, just want to echo this. I think last meeting, SPC mentioned, our SPC was kind of bantered about sending student leaders to NACA, which is the National Conference for Programming. They said that this is an unnecessary expense. But I would like to add that our main initiative and goal of bringing students to NACA, especially very lower classmen, is so that they can communicate with student programming leaders from other schools and bring that back to for our program for the Spark Conference. Thank you.
If there is no more public comment, then we'll be moving on to third reading calendar, Resolution 66 for the SAF student activity fee.
Parliamentary inquiry, can I enter a motion for maximum discussion time?
Sorry?
Can I enter a motion for maximum discussion time?
Your question?
To limit the debate on this to a certain number of time. Is that a motion I can enter?
Sure.
I motion to...
Get under on
those. I motion to limit discussion of Resolution 66 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, we do have to vote on that. But, was there a second? Okay, there was no second, so we don't have to act.
I'll second it.
Go ahead.
Withdrawn.
We just do this every week. We have to speak.
Wait, second.
Yeah. Motion. Oh, like, I didn't hear. He withdrew his motion. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Resolution 66.
Okay. So first, I want to talk about the way the last meeting ended. I think it was really embarrassing for this body, and it ended a complete screaming match, people basically mocking each other. And speaking for byline organizations, like class council suspension, they've been here like four or five times. They probably would rather be in other places besides a student assembly meeting. So I think we need to start making decisions in a much more concise manner and in a way that's a lot more respectful of each other and byline organizations that keep coming back to talk. Second of all, I feel we really dismissed some concerns about the timeliness of the student activity fee for financial aid. I understand the financial aid office may know what individual students' financial aid packages may be, but because of cuts that have come from the federal government to this university, students don't know what their financial package is going to be because it may be different from previous years. And I also really want to build the timeline for the remainder of the student activity fee, right? If the student activity fee is rejected today, we can't meet this weekend because everyone's gone on spring break. So then, the weekend after that will be everyone coming back from spring break. The weekend after that is the SUNY Student Assembly Conference. So that means we would have two meetings remaining to pass the student activity fee. Last time we didn't get to the student activity fee in time, and we had to call a special meeting in order to talk about the student activity fee. And beyond just our simple timeline of what that would mean for passing the student activity fee, that means at the earliest, students would have their official financial aid packages the first week of May. And truthfully, that's like such a big reason that I came into this role, because I'm a student on financial aid and I come from one of the poorest parts of the country in rural Eastern Kentucky. And I think that is powerful for someone to be able to be in this role and represent students that have those interests and are at Cornell on financial aid. And for those students who are at Cornell on financial aid, we have to make a decision today. Furthermore, a lot of people had opinions last week about the student activity fee, but like we had some people saying in public comment, you guys had the entirety of last semester and the previous months to be able to come up, but it feels, being blunt here, it feels kind of performative to start talking about the student activity fee as soon as petitioning has started. People had the time to come and do the work, and you guys did not come and do the work. The finance committee are the people who have been looking over the finances the entire year. And if decisions seem like they come out of whack, we're the ones who have seen the finances and have been looking over them the entire year. We've had our meetings with byline organizations individually, some of them several times. So these are decisions that the finance committee is incredibly confident in making. Thank you, everybody.
Representative Galperin.
Yeah, I'll start by echoing what you said about last week. It was frankly embarrassing. And I think to call it embarrassing is an insult to things that are embarrassing. The one concern I still have remaining is I'm not exactly clear on like the communication that happened between you guys and SPC. So I just want to hear both perspectives. So I'm going to yield the remainder of my time to Hiba to explain from her perspective. If you want to explain just your perspective of the communication, do you want to do that? And then if you want to respond, and then I just think we'll have some clarity.
Just use this one.
All right. Oh, hey guys, good to see you again. What the heck? Okay, perfect. So I guess I'll talk a little bit about the communication we received from the finance committee. So we were all given our like allocation in the fall semester, and that came with the reasoning. So after we all of the byline orgs presented, we were given like a recommendation of 430 originally in the fall semester. And then in that original recommendation, the finance committee explained the importance of SPC, how we were the connected tissue on campus, and kind of the purpose as to why they gave us an increase. And then in the spring semester, we were given a decrease of 83.33%. And that did not come with any kind of explanation. It was literally just an email sent through the finance committee basically saying like, hey, this is the final allocation. This is Kolakoff said that we can't increase the student activity fee. And this is kind of like what it is. And there wasn't, in that email, there wasn't an explanation for kind of how we as organizations should go about talking to the finance committee, what we should do as next steps. I sent an email to the finance committee, didn't hear anything back. We also were not given any kind of explanation for why we were decreased until the March 19th meeting, when those inappropriate things were said about SPC. Does that answer your question, or?
Yeah. Still want to hear more.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we talked about some of the reasoning that that decision, the reasoning for the decision was not communicated very quickly last week. And additionally, there's been a lot of work, like individually meeting with byline organizations to communicate. I had a call with Interfaith Council last week. I talked with SPC yesterday in a meeting. And if we do have a new student activity fee, which I don't believe is the right choice here, for the finance committee speaking on behalf, I will send individual emails to organizations explaining the allocation as soon as I send that student activity fee.
Representative Early.
I just want to start by saying, you know, I think Hayden's worked really hard. I think you've done a really good job throughout most of this process. And I say that first because I'm about to say some less nice things. The communication thing with SPC, like, I don't understand exactly how that happened, but like the fact that we weren't able to have anything generative between the two really, really hurts the process. But I will say this. We were put in a really tough place by President Kotlikoff when he forced us to make the student activity fee $424. So I just want everyone in this room, first of all, to know that if anyone's the enemy here to everyone getting the amount of money that they should ideally get, it's Michael Kotlikoff and the administration. I'm sure there's like a whole system for making the decision. Ultimately, we had to make some tough choices in finance committee. And I've had to struggle with how I feel about that and how I feel about this entire process and what we should do about it. But ultimately, I've come to the conclusion that the responsible thing for us to do will be to approve the student activity fee today at the current number. I move to close debate.
Is there a second? Is there dissent?
Dissent.
All right, we're going to vote on the motion to close debate. All those in favor of closing debate, please raise your placards. Raise them high. All those opposed? Abstentions? And a vote of 13-5-6. We have closed debate. So now we will be voting on the student activity fee for Resolution 66. All those in favor of the student activity fee, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Abstentions? And a vote of 21-2-1, student activity fee passes. We'll now move on to Resolution 57. I will be seating the chair. Right, seating it back to the president.
Chair is actually being ceded to Vice President Watkins because I have an amendment to make for this resolution.
Thank you.
You guys are good to go now.
Okay, well, nothing really changed from last week besides a couple of amendments we added at the end.
Can you talk a little closer to the mic, please?
Can you hear me now? Nothing really changed from last week besides a couple of amendments that we added to the end. These amendments, the purpose is to add guidelines to special projects, taking into account the different perspectives that were discussed throughout the year on special projects. Some people felt there needed to be stricter guidelines in order for organizations to not abuse the funding, whereas others felt like this was opportunity that students came to us about in order to have opportunities that they may not have access to prior. So yeah, it's just A just restricts it to people who already have funds. There's some language in here about organizations that may have other sources of income, whether it be a program or just another pot of money or a donor, also being restricted. Yeah, it's a lot. If you have any questions, please let me know. But I think in terms of summary, that was the biggest intention. And the wording is very intentional in all of its parts in order to protect organizations that needed to be protected, which is the entire purpose of this resolution, as well as listening to some of the concerns that we've been hearing throughout the year to hopefully have a guideline that we're all happy with.
Representative Galbraith.
So correct me if I'm wrong. You guys wrote and submitted this in response to a resolution that we have since rescinded. So I'm just kind of trying to understand, does Does having rescinded that not make this redundant? I'm genuinely confused trying to understand.
No, not necessarily. It doesn't make it redundant. One thing that we've kind of talked about with this resolution is that it, yes, it was originally part of a response to Resolution 43, and yes, that was rescinded, but this has other implications aside from that, especially including the amendments that were made today about like these other guidelines and things like that. So it's not simply, if it was simply just like that in response, then yes, that would have been different, but it's more than that. It's the way that we're referring to and looking at these organizations as an assembly, as well as the way and guidelines we kind of want to implement from here on out, or attempt to at least.
Representative Chowdhury.
So I do have one primary problem with this resolution that we talked about earlier, and that's going to be like that last clause, section F. Just to draw everyone's attention to that, it basically says that if an organization like gets denied their funding, then they are able to go and request the own personal, private, financial information of all of their members at their own will, and then go and submit that to the student assembly. That's outrageous in terms of like the power that we give club like leaders on campus to go and give like their personal finance like stuff to, and B, I don't think that student assembly members should even be able to view that sort of information as well. Like, even if you're saying like yes, it's like at will of the club to go and do that, I feel like that's just to a level of sensitivity or concern. Like, let's say like your financial aid information is private for a reason. And I feel like it's a big like area of concern if you're like publicizing that even to like a small like portion of the body, which is why I would be in favor of someone amending to strike that last portion. The other portion that I know was discussed about earlier, but not really sure like where it went to, was the back half of Resolution 43 that was all about putting restrictions on top of the website in terms of standardizing what like travel looks like, what like hotel rooms look like, which I feel like was a pretty big like consensus. And I feel like I don't remember if it was like amended onto it immediately or like no, but like wanted to hear thoughts on that as well. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your concerns about part F. Representative Shahiri, we did have discussion beforehand. Explaining my thought process behind part F is that I feel like because of the opportunities that Special Projects has given and will continue to give to organizations, and because of the somewhat subjectiveness nature of the assembly voting on Special Projects, I wanted organizations to be able to have almost of a fail-safe. For example, for the people who went to Atlanta, for the Delta, right? A major argument was they don't need to do this. They already have money. Why do they need to do this? Part F was meant to say that, hey, if given the opportunity to, through our own finances, we'll be able to, but we currently aren't able to because of the finances of our individual members, because the sad reality is a lot of organizations who do not apply to Special Projects do not do so, not because they wouldn't love the money, but because, frankly, they don't need it, either because of the individual members' financial circumstance or simply because they have money from donors and other sources, which I explicitly lamed. And two, to your point of giving Assembly too much power, Part F explicitly says it's up to the discretion of not only the organization to do so if it was failed because of the previous things, but also to the members. And when the members submitted to the organization, that part will also be anonymized. This is not to say that I am a big advocate of Part F. Honestly, if it gets striked, that is fine. I think that's a very minute guideline. That's just really saying that in the event that part A to E doesn't do its job correctly and represent our constituents, then here's part F as a further protection. If that further protection isn't liked by General Assembly, so be it, because I think part A to E does a fine enough job in itself. I just wanted to fail safe in case that we or future assemblies do not do our job of representing organizations, either because of prior conceptions of the organization, our own pre-established beliefs, or any other thing. But that was just the process. I don't think it gives people too many power because discretion and anonymity was thought of throughout every single step of the process. And I can't speak for the opinions of everyone here, but I personally would be fine to submit an anonymized form to an organization if they then choose to ask it in order to get my club to do it. And if individual members don't feel comfortable doing that, no one is forcing them to.
I would also like to add that the resolution doesn't qualify financial need reports as financial aid. It can be a statement of need, as in, I would not have the opportunity to visit these places. This will give me the opportunity to do so. I cannot afford to do this on my own. That could be a financial need report. It doesn't give orgs the power to pull financial aid of its members, and it doesn't have to be like the financial aid, like specifically. And also, like Daniel said, it's up to their discretion. So if they want to submit their own individual financial aid reports, which they are not required to, and they don't have to, but if that's what they feel like they need to do to have the student assembly understand that this is a need for their, like, the members of the organization, then, like, that's what the org elects to do.
Representative Psychic.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with what's been said on Section F. I mean, I think it's while there might be good intentions, I think it's honestly quite ridiculous that if it just, like, thinking about it from a policy standpoint, you're writing in it that, first of all, it's not written correctly. The assembly may override an unfavorable determination. How would the assembly override its own determination? Like, that doesn't really make sense. How would they come to determine if they need the financial aid? That writing there doesn't make sense to me, because if they already voted that it's, if they already voted that it's not unfavorable, how would the assembly themselves, it doesn't make sense. So, and then also this, what this clause also adds is that effectively, I mean, it's good natured. We have to think about the actual policy ramifications, is that if any club comes here and they ask for special projects and then we reject it, and then they do this, which, you know, as you said, there's a pro to being just, I can put in a statement saying I can have this opportunity, but I promise you there could be people in the future, and it leaves it open to people who could just organize and say, do that. And then it'll require 2/3 vote to override. It doesn't make sense. The assembly already made a decision. I completely disagree with Section F. I mean, I've been on the record as I saying, I think special projects should only be on campus. It's a, like, I think that's what it's for. It's a student activity fee. And also, I would like to say that, you know, the reason why we have such big reserves is because of the pandemic. We still haven't used it. So having it, setting this precedent is really doing a disservice to Cornellians in the future, that in one year, it's just going to dry up, and then there's not going to be a sustained avenue of funding. I mean, I would rather, you know, I'm a senior, but anyone who would be interested in something like this, why not apply to create a new byline organization 2 years from now or something for any freshman? I think that would create a more sustained funding cycle for this. But I want to let people debate it more, but I'm going to motion to strike Section F. I think it's quite ridiculous to enshrine, you know, that if someone writes a few statements, that it automatically overturns the assembly's vote on it. And then to get it voted in, to undo that overturning, it needs 2/3. It doesn't really make sense.
Second.
All right. That was a motion to strike. Can you read out the lines for me? 74 through 80 of Resolution 57. Representative Galperin, second. Is there any dissent? All right. Dissent. Now we're going to go into voting. Everyone in favor of the motion?
Debate.
Oh, yes. We are in debate. Thank you, Representative Ehrlich. Representative Ehrlich.
I like that my little thank you means I get to speak first. I completely agree with Admir and Ishan and everyone else. Like, this is a bad idea. This section, and frankly, if Section F somehow gets left in, I would end up asking to take my name off this resolution. I move to close debate.
Second. Is there any dissent?
The amendment.
Is there any dissent to closing debate on the amendment?
The amendment to be.
All right. Is that dissent, Representative Wu? Okay. Now we're going to go into voting on the amendment. Everyone in favor of the amendment, please raise your placard. This is striking lines 74 through 80. The amendment is to strike lines 74 through 80. 1, 2, 3, 4. Representative Cossey, is that a vote? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. All right. That was 16. All opposed. One, all abstaining. One, two. Was that an abstain, Forner?
Yeah.
Okay, five. So 16-1-5, the amendment passes. President Durham.
Sorry, I'm kind of sick. So if I, like, cough, my bad. I do not like this resolution for a variety of reasons, but I think the biggest one is that it actually has no tangible impact, especially with Resolution 43 being rescinded. And I think that's something that we really should be holding three members of exec accountable for. There are no proposed amendments to the standing rules, which is where all of our all of our special projects funding guidelines are. It's really just shaming the assembly internally for things that we've ultimately rescinded. And so without any valid and tangible impact within the resolution, I just don't know really know like what the point is in kind of having something that shames ourselves, like for something that we ended up undoing as well. So like what's the point? I did put this into the box just now, and I apologize that I forgot to email it to the sponsors last week. But I am proposing to amend this resolution entirely and just make an ad hoc committee to review our special projects funding guidelines in the next like 2 weeks after break. I think that we've had a lot of debate over the special projects funding guidelines this whole year, last year, for as long as I've been on the assembly. It's, we know it's too vague, but also too strict. We know that we end up disagreeing with ourselves all the time. And I apologize for the fact that this, like amendment doesn't really acknowledge a lot of the complaints in the resolution, but I also kind of don't apologize for that because I don't agree with them. And I would just prefer if we had an opportunity for us to make meaningful change and have a group of us come together and actually propose real procedural changes, which this resolution could have been the whole time. This resolution actually could have, instead of being related to Resolution 43, it could have just undid what Resolution 43 did in writing. So I just have a lot of issues with the lack of procedure within this resolution, and I'm proposing the amendments that I have in the box move to amend accordingly in the
Recognize.
right of response.
It's the appendix is in the box. Like, I don't, yeah, that's it. Like, for all the points of like it not making any tangible impacts and it just being like in the resolution, that's not true. I would encourage Representative or Re President Durham to have substantial disagreements that actually are rooted in reality and to not shame her fellow executive cabinet members for things that aren't.
Sorry, since they're properly formatted, I actually didn't know that's what the amendments made.
Point
So
of
now we're going to voting to amend lines 1 through 90.
Point of
Point of
order,
order,
don't we need
yeah.
to
Point of parliamentary inquiry and order. Like, I don't think anyone seconded Zora's and or was it recognized? And also on top of that, just like generally, is this how like amendments work that you could just strike an entire resolution and you can just like put in whatever you want? Okay, just like put in that.
So is anyone going to second President Durham's?
Second.
Okay, Representative Galperin, any dissent? All right, now we're going to debate on the amendment. Representative Chaudhry.
I would actually strongly articulate a no vote on this for a couple reasons. Number one, I think like if you're going to make an amendment this drastic, it should just be another resolution. Like, I appreciate the sentiment behind it. I'm actually like very, very much so in front of it. But think about it like this. If this amendment gets passed, number one, it's